Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Greetings, listener dear, I'm Tom.
I'm Ben.
And I'm Matthew, and welcome to an episode of Pappy's Flatshare House Meeting.
Rolling, house rolling, meeting. Rolling, the boys, they're back out rolling, they're all on one horse rolling, we're all high.
We're all high on a horse. A
lovely bit of Limp Bizkit there from Tom to start us off.
I think I would do a passable Limp Bizkit in terms of tribute bands.
That sounds disgusting.
Stiff Bizkit.
I know you've changed your diet recently, but...
Limp Hobnob, that would what I'd be good to get, like the kind of crazy bookings. Anyway, let's not go down that route. Basically, I'd have a red cap on and I'd be giving it both barrels.
Yeah, let's not go down that route, but I think you'd be brilliant at it. And if I may, I'd like to play guitar in that band.
Let's not go down that route, but Crosby's on drums and our first gig's next week.
So very, very quickly, I've got to tell you, Tom, you're going to be amazed by this message we've had. We have a message from Phil via pappysflatshare@gmail.com. That's the address, by the way, if you want to get in touch and send us any of your thoughts, feelings, emotions, whatever.
He front says, names only, especially if your surname is McCracken. But let's
oh
not
my gosh. Well, I tell you what, we gave away a second name. You wouldn't have heard this because you missed the intro. We gave away a second name recently because we got an email from someone called Jed Lester.
Oh,
which is
wow.
such a strong name. And we've asked as well for people to get in touch if they've got a name that sounds a bit like a food. And so far, it's not exactly taken off. But
we were lost without you, Tom. No one saw it coming, but
we got
off the rails.
Makewell. Listen, we got a Terry Makewell, and I was very, very happy with that. It was worth it for that alone. So Phil writes, "Hi guys, I'm happy to settle your tombola related issues." Now, do you remember we were talking about where you get a tombola from? Do you rent it?
Oh,
do you buy
yes.
it?
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah.
A burning issue of the day.
They were traditionally rented, along with most of the other equipment, bunting, trestle tables, etc., from carnival supply companies. There are still a few dotted about. I wrote a book about Ernest Sewell, who, amongst other things, owned the Oldie English Fair Company, which rented out anything you'd need for a summer fete. I've attached two photos from a similar company's 1961 catalogue showing the cover and the page which offers their tombolas for rental. I think Parry's broadly right, though. The expense of renting a tombola regularly would have led to most schools, churches and social clubs having one made up by a handy person in their shed. Hope that helps."
Oh, my God. Always. I was literally about to say, if you're going to be proved wrong by someone who's written a book about it. Yeah. I was like, what a pleasure to be put in my place by someone. But then he did a little flip reverse at the end and said, yeah, Parry's also right. I couldn't have enjoyed that letter more.
Right.
It turns out we were all right. And Phil has written
right.
a book. Has he given us the title? Well, I mean, I'm guessing search for a book about Ernest Sewell if you'd like to read Phil's book, because... oh yeah, here it is. Yeah, it is. Here we go. Phil, it's called Ernest Sewell and the London Magical Company. Oh,
perfect.
Yeah. So yeah,
beautiful.
That sounds great.
Have a look out for that.
Yeah, totally. It sounds like a hymn to a bygone era. And I'm not just giving you a quote to put on the cover there, Phil, but if you are reissuing it, then that is the kind of thing that would look great on the cover, you know, a hymn to a bygone era, Tom Parry Pappies. Right, let's get into the house meeting, shall we?
Brackets, hasn't read it.
Hasn't read it yet. But
it is available from collectingmagicbooks.com. So, yeah, let's get into the house meeting. It's, you know what? It's great to have you back on the intro, by the way, Tom.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be back on the intro, actually.
Do you want to do a quick plug for the Patreon?
Get on board at the Patreon, guys. If you love the podcast, as we all do, then the Patreon is the place to celebrate that love. There's a community of listeners. There is a bag load of extra episodes. Too many, if anything. Yeah. You'll be wading through them for days. But it just is a great way to feel on board with the podcast. You get to chat to a load of people online and listen to a whole bag's worth of extra stuff.
Beautiful. No, you did that. You did that. Great,
that was great.
You
know,
back,
that was great.
I could feel the confidence drain from your voice as you got towards the end of that sentence. I think it was the word bag, but
I was going to go. I was chastising myself for not going with boat. Why would you choose a bag over a boat? Boats are famously bigger.
It's a boatload. There's a boatload of stuff as opposed to a bag full. You know what?
And then I was about to go to boat, and then I thought, you've led with bag. You can't go to boat now. People will start to doubt you.
There's a bag, and that bag is on a boat, and
the bag is over. Called Dig Nutty. I've got a bag called Dignity. It's a lot less. It's a worse song.
Yeah. I mean, you can call it Dignity.
How much money did you save? $3.99. It's a bag, mate.
There's a man who's got a bag, and that bag is for life. And he hasn't felt a day of work in his life. And the bag's called... We're called Deacon Red, everyone. We'll be appearing after Limp Shortcake.
Deacon Red. We're doing a double tour with Simply Blue as well. We're two of the weirdest tribute acts you could ever imagine.
Deacon Red baseball cap. It's Deacon Blue songs played by Limp Bizkit. Get on board. I really might have seen a movie.
Oh boy, hold on. Hold on, he thought he could do a decent Limp Bizkit, and it turns out he's never heard them before in his entire life. Well, look, that could have been further from a Red Durst.
Was that supposed to be?
Was that a Red Durst?
Let's get into house meeting, and I'll tell you an interesting story about tribute bands on the other side in the outro. Enjoy the house meeting.
I've had a thought.
I've got an issue.
I've got a question I want to ask you.
I want to talk.
I want to chat.
Okay, let's sit down and chew the fat.
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What temperature should we set the heat?
House meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Why on earth am I always weeping?
House meeting. Meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. Who wet my bed while I was sleeping?
Let's have a house meeting. Meeting.
Meeting. What's the point? Does life have a meaning?
House meeting.
So, the other day, Parry and I went out for a drink.
Oh, okay. That's a hell of a
very
way
nice
to break
time
it
we had, actually. Very nice time we had.
You. This is how we tell you, Clarkie.
We had a great time. I've not seen Parry in the flesh in absolutely ages.
No, me neither. Me neither.
In the wild.
Yeah, not seen him in the wild for a while. Always a pleasure.
Not had a drink in ages either. Oh, that combo.
You've not had a drink in ages?
Must have been massive. Well, I did, yeah. Sure, yeah.
When did you like... You had a drink yesterday, didn't you?
Yeah. What Ben means by that
ages.
Is... What Ben means by that is we're recording in the morning.
it's 20 past 10 in the morning, which means Ben hasn't had a drink for a good 3 hours.
Mm. Oh, baby.
So we went out for a drink, and then went out for some food as well.
It was quite the night.
It was lovely. We had a really, really nice time.
Okay.
And then Parry nipped off to the loo. I ordered a couple of cocktails.
Oh,
do you remember this, Parry?
Oh, yeah.
My cocktail arrived first, and it was there sat in front of me. And I reached beyond it and picked up the pint on the table and took a big swig out of it and put it back down and then carried on chatting. And then after maybe sort of a minute, I went, have I just taken a big swig out of your drink, Tom? And you went, yeah, you did. And I said, why didn't you say anything? And you're like, oh, I just didn't really bother me. And I was like, I'm not entirely sure why my brain did it. I'd ordered a drink. It was in front of me. I know where my brain did. I was a bit drunk. But I'd ordered a drink. It was in front of me. But yeah, I reached. And, it was a full arm's reach across the table to reach, pick it up, drink it, and put it back.
I know why you did it, Matthew. It's the classic power play.
I was going
to
say
to lay down your authority in a social situation.
Do you think that's what it was?
I was going to say it almost sounds like something you'd hear like in a seminar. I imagine.
Clocky, kind of. Have you ever been to a seminar?
Well, no. But I've heard all about them. I've also never been for a drink with friends, guys. But, you know, I have to hear about all these things secondhand.
I would say this, Clarkie, you have been to one seminar on how to be a good Father Christmas, because I was sat next to you and we were dressed as Father Christmas. I think that counted as a seminar.
Oh, God, yeah.
I think that counted as a your only
that
seminar.
That's true. So when you started saying that, I was like, why is this joke he's magicking up? Oh, no, that did actually happen.
You actually went for it, didn't you? Actually went to go and train to be a... was that for like a supermarket Father Christmas? The idea then you then got allocated to a supermarket and you...
It was a company that just hired out Father Christmases, but they did this kind of thing more as a... more as a showcase, more of an advert for their company. So they had like... people filming it, and you go, it was like right in Leicester Square, and you kind of traipse in the centre of town, all the Father Christmases together. So it was like a selling thing.
We were publicity fodder for
them. Can I just say, half of that was Ben explaining the thing, and half of it was him complaining about the fact he had to go to the centre of town. it was sort of like a promotion for their company. You had to traipse into the centre of town.
This is why we never invite you out for drinks, mate. You always turn up and you're so pissed off by the travel. Unless we come to your front room, you're unhappy.
This was Ben.
You also arrived dressed as Father Christmas as
this
well.
This was just off Leicester Square. You would have absolutely hated it.
Oh, fuck that.
The traipse you would have had to do.
Clarkie's night out of the town these days is going to his hallway with a bottle of IPA. Oh, I better leave. I've got to get back.
Did you think it was? Do you think it was like, you know, the putting the hand on the back when you're shaking somebody's hand? That's supposed to be the power play, isn't it?
Whenever I arrive in a social situation that I feel slightly uneasy about, I go through the entire room and drink everybody's drink. Sometimes, you know.
And then by the end, you feel fine about it, don't you?
I've stopped being invited to weddings, put it that way. Just march up to the bride, snatch the Prosecco from her. It does feel like one of those things that if you read a book on how to get ahead in business, all of those books, those kind of books of how to get ahead in business, basically boils down to be a right old cunt. That's what's underneath it.
Can I just say, do you think what I did was the behaviour of a right old cunt?
Well, you know.
No, I'm saying a deliberate.
Speak for themselves.
What I'm saying is like a deliberate move of doing that would be the actions of a right old cunt.
Yeah. Well, so I think if you want to get ahead in business, the thing to do is to, you know, I've just this is good stuff, right? If someone comes in and says like, would you like coffee? You know, say you know one of the juniors comes in and you're sat there with the head of the company. Order for the head of the company.
Yeah.
That would be a really good thing to do. Yeah, if you're in a job interview, order for the head of the company.
We'll have
I'll
two
have a
coffees.
Black coffee. And, you'll have a decaf.
Yeah, and we'll have two chicken chakras as well. decaf for the big lad. I'll have a flat white.
Love it.
I think, honestly, I reckon if we published a book that was called Get Ahead in Business by Being an RAC, brackets, right old, bleep, 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 it'd be a best. Those
how
books
are you spelling
are
old, by the way? Two things. Firstly, we're going to get sued by the RAC because I don't think they would associate themselves.
No, listen,
the C in RAC.
Cross me.
That's how old you are. You're an old.
We're publishing it in Scotland, I should say. Sorry, I wasn't doing the accent. To be a right old. I can't do the accent.
No, that's why you weren't doing it.
Still not doing it.
You're absolutely right. How to be a right ROC anyway, that's where we go. Those kind of books selling their bucket loads.
Yeah, the only thing is if you turn over
the
back, right, there is a photo of a very distinguished looking person, you know, like a Sheryl Sandberg type figure who looks and also has a really good CV of being successful at business.
Mm.
And I think that's where we fall down.
I think one of the main selling points, though, the book industry went through like a real phase of this, of doing like, don't be a twat, asterisk, and everyone be like, be happy as a shit dick, and people would be like, I'll buy it, it's a self-help book with swearing on the front. Like, they became really popular for some reason.
That's true. It sort of eschews the whole new agey sort of thing of like because that's the thing in like The Apprentice, which is my only experience of
business,
of the world of business. Yeah, The Apprentice and Dragon's Den is what I base my entire but it's always about, you know, it's always about being obviously they say it's about being a good team leader, but it's about throwing people under the bus, isn't it? It's about backstabbing.
It's about being an ROC.
An RAC, exactly.
Imagine if Glengarry Glen Ross had started like that. Three words: A, B, C. Only B. Oh, damn it! Look at my watch. Fuck your watch, mate. You can't spell. Oh no! He's out the door straight off. Dyslexic Glengarry.
The ROC, the Rock Guide. Oh, Rock's confusing, isn't it? Because then people think it's going to be,
can you smell what the Rock is cooking? You're fired.
You're fired.
Can you smell what the Rock is cooking? Your dinner, and he's going to eat it.
You're just delegating everything in the office the second you arrive. You open this door. You take off my shoes.
That's, you know what? That's not bad. That's really good. I'm really good. What's your greatest strength? I'm really good at delegation. In fact, you take this interview. Switch sides.
In fact, you tell me. I'm good at delegating. Now you tell me what I'm good at.
Love.
That world of like, you know, be like a shark and I don't know, swim like a
an eagle.
Be like a shark, swim like a beagle is a great motto. That's the first thing they say. Right, the first thing you've got to do is organise an away day to the local swimming pool, and you throw yourself in the water and do that little paddle with your two hands in front of you, and then they'll know this guy means business because he's an RAC and he's waiting by the roadside for you to pick him up and make him CEO.
CEO
stands for making boss.
I've got three letters for you, CEO. Always be hiring me.
But that is, like, it is an often quoted fact, isn't it? Or like, I don't know, idiom where they say, you know, 80% of psychopaths, you know, like 20% of psychopaths are killers, 80% are CEOs. Or it's an off-quoted misquote.
the one thing about this fact I don't know is the factual part. I know how to say a bunch of words together.
It's something along the lines of, all the traits of a psychopath are also all the traits of a successful CEO. But I think there's a more pithy way of doing that.
Parry's been off the podcast for a while, but we've replaced him with John Ronson, who's inevitably steered it round to his topic of the psychopath test. So, John, always great to have you on the podcast. You've got to tell us now, what percentage? I've got to ask you, what percentage of psychopaths are greengrocers? We've got to know. Well,
in just three letters, please tell us.
A, B, C, the psychopath test. Drill it into your head so I don't have to.
That's a fact.
Can I have a lift? I live in London.
House meeting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I should say, I have been away from the podcast for a couple of weeks for one reason or another. It's because I'm now the CEO of Apple.
Oh, wow.
That's a bad lie, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a bad lie.
I was trying to think of a better company to go with, but I don't really know many companies, to be honest.
Well, it's easy. You just got to think of one that begins with a B, and you did.
Yeah.
I was going to go with the Bilderberg Group, but I don't think that's a...
Bilderberg Group. No. Bilderbear.
It's like, once you've been to Bilderbear and you want some food, go next door to Bilderberg.
Go to the gourmet Bilderberger Group. The shadowy cabal who run all burgers.
So is that what the Bilderberg Group is? Is it a shadowy cabal?
Well, the Bilderberg Group is, yeah, it's a sort of semi-secret organisation that...
Oh, I've said too much!
Oh, no. Basically, I don't think anyone who considers himself to be CEO goes on a podcast and says that. Even the Joe Rogan podcast.
I signed an NDA and I had no idea what that meant. Go tell everyone!
I've got three letters for you. ABC, NDA.
What does NDA stand for? Go tell everyone.
Go tell
the good news. So sorry, the Bilderberg Group are a shadowy cabal. So have they got CEO?
I mean, presumably they do have a hierarchy within the group.
This is the kind of thing you're only a podcast. You're normally on a podcast series that would tell you all these things about the Bilderberg Group.
Yeah, but they never have a chat with the CEO. I know, again, John Ronson did infiltrate a meeting of the Bilderbergs with Alex Jones, but I don't think they ever got to the stage of sitting down with the CEO and drinking his coffee.
Alex, what? With Alex Jones? What?
Yeah, not the woman from the One Show, the guy from InfoWars. You know, the loud,
yeah, 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 yeah. That's
imagine if that had been an episode of the One Show.
What a report that would have been. We're going to one of their Weird Al ceremonies.
I'm here with Jermaine Genus. And we're at Davos. We're about to go into a sauna with Bill Clinton and Jeff Bezos. Let's see what Jermaine can glean from these world leaders. One. And next up, your pet's got worms. How'd you cope with it? Anyway, let's go.
Your pet's got worms.
Joe Rogan's on scene.
Didn't kill himself.
One. Oh, man. Which one of us would fare best as a presenter on the One Show, do you think?
Crosby.
I don't know, man.
Saying you, not you two. Oh, answer.
Yeah, yeah. No. I don't know if I. I don't know if I would.
That's across me.
That was great delegation, Clarky. Are you a psychopath?
Would I be a good host of the One Show? I mean, I'd give it a shot. Certainly. You know why? Why not?
I actually could see you going at it with vim and vigor.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. I feel like I'm good at listening to people when I'm not that interested in what they have to say. I mean, I've done this podcast for a while.
You've ran this assault course for long enough.
But no, to be honest, I don't watch a lot of watch a lot of the One Show, so I'm not really sure kind of what it is. I think I've seen the only bits of the One Show I've really seen are the bits where it's like Matt Baker saying to David Cameron, "How do you sleep at night?" Or Mel Brooks talking about what a mad show it is. That's as much as I've seen. I'm not really deep into the viral
bits.
My dad loves it. My dad's obsessed with the one show. As I think people of a certain age, you get to a certain age and suddenly something clicks in your brain and you love the one show.
Well, that age is going to come to us.
In 15
years' time.
Now that I can't stop listening to Peter Gabriel.
But
ago, I would have absolutely bonked at the idea.
The equivalent for us? Like, will it be like Zane Lowe hosting? Or like, you know, what's like, you got to think
imagine
like.
Imagine picking Zane Lowe as a current reference.
Well, no, it's not current. No, it's like current. Yeah.
No, but that's the thing, isn't it? All of the people that we grew up listening to on Radio 1 are now hosting quite cozy shows on Radio 2, right?
Yeah.
That's sort of what happens, isn't it? You know, you've got Zoe on The Breakfast Show. You've got Sarah Cox. You've got Joe Wiley. These are all people. I mean, some of them are clinging on to Six Music. You know, I'm thinking of Lamac.
But I'm looking at you, Lamac.
I'm looking at you, Lamac.
Bite the Radio 2 bullet.
Still occasionally complaining about the fact that Radio 1 let him go. I don't know if you've listened to Radio 1 recently. You would not. I mean, you barely fit on Six Music.
Well, I reckon you can think of BBC radio stations a bit like living in London, because obviously, like, when you first move to London, you've got to be on the tube. And everyone's like, got to be on the tube. Yeah. Everyone starts living.
Listen, guys, going nowhere near Radio 1.
you can't afford Radio 1.
Come on. Just make it local. Is there a 7?
Is there a BBC? Well, there's BBC Home Counties.
That's me.
Even cozier.
You've got to be on the tube, Radio 1. Zone 2, you know, and everyone's like, God, Zone 3 or 4, you're dead. And then you live in, you know, you live
and
in.
And now you're in, like, Zone 5 Exeter, right?
Yeah, that's right. Well, let me get to that. Like, that's like local. That's Radio 1. Then you move out to Zones 4 or 5. That's like Six Music. Then you start thinking, I can just live, you know, by a station. I could go Zone 5, Zone 6. That's your kind of Radio 2.
By the way, when you were trying to find the word there, I really thought you were going to say, I could just go and live by the river. I thought it was going to be, I'll have a makeshift thing in the woods. Just by a stream, as long as I've got water to drink and to wash my clothes in, I'm fine.
That's your local radio.
That's your local radio. Tom in a tent drinking from the Thames.
That's local
Tom
radio.
Tom does a Raoul Moat. He's washing his clothes in a Raoul Moat.
So you're kind of like, you know, you can work it out from there. And by the end, you're like, you know, BBC Southampton or whatever it is. That's kind of like
by the end, you're hospital radio.
Yeah, absolutely. And then by the very end, you're in hospital listening to radio. but you know, I think it feels like a merry life to be in, you know. And it's one you've entered into, Crossbow. Now you're in that radio. Now you're in the radio journey. You kind of go, you can, you know. You can
I'm
know.
Sorry, I got so confused there. I was like, wait a second, he's in zone. What zone are you in? You're actually on the radio.
Well, I'm both. I live in London and I'm on the radio, so I'm quite confused because
you're
I'm
living
both,
the dream, man.
I'm both living the metaphor and also the reality of the metaphor. So yeah. it's really confusing, but yeah, I've got a nice house and I'm on the radio. Yeah, that's thanks for reminding me. It's quite a good life, actually. Yeah,
you fucking psychopath! Stop drinking my drink.
Look, all it took was drinking your drink a fortnight ago for you to finally pay me a compliment 2 weeks later. It's paid off. I played the long game. I sipped your drink. I drink
it up.
I drink your Asahi. A straw going all the way along my arm, down my hand, into your drink. I drink your Asahi. I drink it up. And I drink my sake cocktail.
Oh, dear. Where would Clarkie go on the radio? I'm putting him on Radio 4. Oh, thought for the day.
Yeah. Yes. Oh,
there we go.
A lovely thought for the day. The thing about Clarkie is he's got dulcet tones. He's got a slow, calming way of speaking that's not unlike a vicar.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I mean, you could imagine the thought for
the day. Or someone who's lost in a sentence.
Yeah, but you know what? That's the great thing. If you're on Radio 4, you know, if you're on Radio 1 and you took the kind of pauses you take, Clarkie.
You could play songs in between.
Exactly, exactly. They're throwing in some Dua Lipa just to cover the silence. Whereas if you were...
Clarkie's radio show is one sentence. with 15 songs in between.
He said good, and then he played four songs. Is the next word going to be morning? Who put this guy on the breakfast show?
I'd be quite up for that, actually. It's like a kind of stream of consciousness, kind of, you know, it's like a rambling anecdote, and there's like leaping off points for songs along the way.
That's not a bad idea, yeah.
It's basically how my brain works anyway.
That's true. That's very true.
That's what happens when you wait, is it? You're listening to music in your head.
Yeah, yeah.
Clark is the only person in the world who's got hold music in his own brain.
My wife does a terrible thing, which is whenever she's on hold, she puts it on speaker and
subjects the house to the house music.
The old music.
what's the alternative? Hold it to your ear. I mean, I go hands free on that. If I'm ever going to make a phone call that I know, and I go hands free, and I can wander around the house, I leave the phone sort of where it is, and I wander around the house, you know, doing a few tasks that need doing, letting the whole music play.
Put your earphones in, man.
What's that?
They're the actions of a psychopath. Put your earphones in.
Yeah, that's... No, I'm saying I go on hands-free with my headphones in. And I wander around the house. That's the nature of hands-free, isn't it?
I thought you said on speaker.
I put it on hands-free. I put it on hands-free and then I wander around. But I can understand putting it on speaker.
I put it on speaker, but then I'm normally on my own, so...
But also, I don't mind hold music.
And I'm not on the phone.
It doesn't, like, I think it only if you train yourself to go, well, look, this is me, this is here for my entertainment. The purpose of this isn't to annoy.
Oh, hello.
I could sing you my Banks hold music now. I know it so well.
Clarkie, let's hear it, man.
Oh, by the way, you're now listening to Clarkie's brain music. He's just thinking about what he's thinking of the answer to the question.
Good.
This is Clarkie FM. Clarkie
Radio.
And it goes beep, and it's beep. Have I got any money to pay the rent?
Excuse me. Somebody turned my lights off.
Excuse me. Can I afford to go into the centre of town to have a drink with my friends?
I want a traipse.
It's all right.
I've had a traipse in ages.
It's all right. I'll just drink their drinks.
Is that HSBC, Clarkie?
It is.
Love it.
I tell you what would be a good job, a hold DJ. That's what I'd do if I was CEO of HSBC, which, if you don't know, stands for the World Banking System. I would have an in-house DJ every day who's curating. I mean, fuck me, you've got the money. I'd get Lamac for, you know, you get all the, you know, that's the journey.
We've
you
start all got on Radio money 1, for Lamac.
You start on Radio 1, you go to Six Music, you end up on HSBC Hold Music FM. But like, why haven't they got DJs curating their hold music? Do you know what I mean? Like, we live in a modern world. Why are we still on computer music?
Crap,
those crap kind of generic hold music. Why haven't you got Zane Lowe playing, you know?
It's gotta be Zane Lowe.
It's got to be Zane Lowe. And by the way, your bank account is running Zane Lowe.
You've hit an all-time Zane Lowe.
Clarkie, your overdraft is Pete Tong. Hit it!
I've started following Gary Kemp of Spandau Ballet on Instagram.
Brilliant sentence.
He went on holiday recently with Pete Tong and his wife, and he put up a picture of them all having dinner, and it's very genuine. It looked lovely, and they were all having dinner, and it just said, "Lovely dinner with the Tongs." If your name is a thing, it's a really exciting thing for people to meet. Oh, we're going to meet the Tongs tonight.
Isn't that what Colin Farrell said on that infamous video?
he certainly used his tongue, didn't he? Yeah, his tongue was right up
breakfast,
there.
Breakfast, lunch and dinner with the Tongs.
And I tell you what, after that, he was not Hank Marvin.
Or, here's another one. You should be able to... There's technology for this... On your devices, you get to select your own style of hold music, and then whenever you're on hold, so if you go like Fleetwood Mac, blah blah blah, like on Spotify, then whenever you're on hold, it goes into your choice, your genre of hold music.
The tricky thing with that is, remember when you could have songs as alarms? It used to make you hate a song that you loved.
I've been out walking. I don't do
was that
too
your
much
alarm?
Talking these days. Royal Tenenbaum soundtrack all the way through university. Whenever I think of being hungover or waking up not knowing what I did the night before, like the soundtrack to my wild years of university. I mean, like, by the way, when I say I can't remember what I did the night before, it was normally walked back to Crombie's house, ate an egg, and watched a bit of Monty Python. Like, that's what normally happened. Or like, we watched Mr. Show for 3 hours.
We ate
an egg sandwich, and then I ended up back at the house again. Clarky wasn't invited. The weird thing as well is we had like this lovely tradition. We'd get back home from the club, Crosby would make us 2 egg sandwiches, then he'd eat them both. It was a real shame, actually. He'd just eyeball me and then eat my sandwich and then tell me to leave.
He'd put them both in front of you as well.
Yeah, he'd put them down, he'd eat them both, and then he'd say, "I'm going to end up with a nice house and a job on the radio. Now get out."
I heard a brilliant story, by the way, which I'm sure the guy who told me won't mind me telling, but it was he had to pick up the much missed, the late lamented Sean Locke to drive him to a festival, right? And he had to drive him to a festival, and on the way they said, Sean said, I want to just pick up my mate. We've got to drive to Chiswick. Go and pick up my mate. He's coming with me for these festivals. And so they picked up Mark Lamar, right? They drove and picked up Mark Lamar. And Mark Lamar apparently chain-smoked the entire time. And the only time there was any kind of interaction between Mark Lamar and the guy who was driving was he said, "Oh, pull over at the next services." They stopped at the next services, and he came back with 3 white Magnum ice creams, and he ate all 3 of them to himself.
No! It's one of the great stories, I think that is.
Yeah, it's amazing. Wow. It's absolutely amazing. I know it was Paul Bettany. When Lars von Trier was filming Dogville.
Yeah.
And he was basically trying to sort of psychologically torture, as he loved to do, psychologically torture his actors. So the first thing he did was, and he obviously wouldn't leave the country, so he filmed it in Denmark, so everyone had to come to him. And he picked Paul Bettany up from the airport and drove him to a service station. And then when he got to the service station, he bought like all of the porn in that service station, Lars von Trier did, and said, "Do you want any of this porn, Paul?" And Paul was like, "No, you're fine, thank you." And he sort of chucked it in the back seat next to Paul. And then he went and picked up, I think it's Catherine Deneuve. He picked up Catherine Deneuve from her hotel. And then Catherine Deneuve got in and looked at all the porn. And Lars von Trier said, "Yeah, sorry, Paul's brought all this porn." And Paul and Catherine were going to work together for a month and hadn't met each other. And the first thing is him going, "No, actually, this is Lars von Trier did this. This wasn't me." And it just makes it like, it just immediately, it's immediately sort of puts the cat amongst the pigeons, doesn't it? Immediately, I don't know what he's trying that, to achieve.
When I first moved to when I started my second year at university, Marco, one of the guys in the house, was the last one to move in, and we all moved in and went to the shops and bought several porn magazines and decorated his bedroom with it. And then he arrived with his parents and walked into his bedroom. And it was just. Now I look back on that and think, what on earth were we trying to do there? Because, like, we weren't like fingering Marco, because it's not like.
Well,
one of the magazines. Like, his parents aren't going to walk into his brand new room and go, Marco, you've pre-decorated your room with porn. It was just like, what a weird thing to do. But it does remind that story about Lars von Trier and Martin Amar. Do you know Alan Pardew, the football manager? He used to be the manager of Crystal Palace. And he's supposed to be an absolute rotter. And someone said, like, how you know he's a rotter is he started at a club and he sat down and he was sat with his kind of team around him, and the kit man, they all ordered food and his food arrived and the kit man's food ordered, and he said, oh, I really like your food. It looks nicer than my food, what you've ordered. And the kit man was like, oh yeah, you know, order MV, blah, blah, blah. And Pardew was like, give me your food.
What?
And he was like, well, no, because, you know, I've ordered it. And he said, yeah, and I'm the manager. And he made him give him his meal, gave him his meal. And whenever I think about that, I think, like, that might be the... I think we've come full circle almost. That's like the actions of an utter psychopath. I can't think of something much worse to do to someone than to make them give you... And it's kind of how I felt, you know, back there in that restaurant a couple of weekends ago.
It'd be weirder if I was like, I want that pint of Asahi. And you went, yeah, but you've just drunk a pint of Asahi. Yeah, but I want your pint of Asahi now.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you can just order another pint of Asahi. No, I don't want another pint of Asahi. I want your pint of Asahi. In fact, you know what? Do you know what? Alan Pardew's a fucking pussy because he asked.
Yeah, that's true.
Do you know what?
Take a scoop.
I'm more of a psychopath than Alan Pardew, all right? Yeah. And I want the world to know that. I want that to be out in the open. I'm going to have business cards on bone, American Psycho style, printed up, that just say,
actual bone.
Matthew Crosby, nice house, on the radio, more of a psychopath than Alan Pardew.
NHOR, decent house, on the radio.
Which stands for, of course, always be closing.
House meeting. Is having subtitles in a foreign film cheating?
House meeting.
Well, there we go. That was a real treat, wasn't it?
It was a real Bronx cheer, Thomas. Lovely,
actually. So here's my story about, well, it's our story, actually, about tribute bands. Listener dears might know that for my wedding celebrations, I asked Ben and Matthew and a couple of other dear friends who are talented musicians to form an Oasis tribute band.
You told us to form an Oasis tribute band. I remember the way you said, the way you broke the news to me was, you said, have you heard about the Oasis tribute band? I went, no, that's amazing. You've got an Oasis tribute band at your wedding. And you went, yeah, you're on drums. I was like, bloody hell. I can play all the Tony McCarroll stuff. I hope you get well soon, Tony. But I can't play any of the Alan White stuff. That's too fucking tricky. I did my best, though.
They formed Oasisters. And famously, now, the best gig of my wife's life, she says, whenever she's asked, what's your best live gig ever, she says it was Oasisters. I actually think it might be mine as well.
Thank you.
What an hour of music. Wow-y. And like the tent was just heaving. It was amazing. What a scene.
We got an encore and we hadn't rehearsed any more than 5 songs, so we had to play
two songs again. Yeah, it was great. They're the best encores, man. But anyway, someone got in touch, who was at our wedding, got in touch with my wife and said, we're getting married and we want an Oasis tribute band. Have you got the contact details of the band from your wedding? So guys, you're in demand.
You've got another booking.
Yeah.
We're booked up, man.
Clark and I are now more currently in demand on the wedding circuit than we are on the live comedy circuit.
Yeah, I mean, it's the inevitable transition. You've gone from Six Music to Radio 2, guys. That's the way it happens. Anyway,
that, actually, great.
Thank you for joining us, not listener bad. Dear. Support the Patreon if you can. We'd love to have you on board.
patreon.com/Pappy's Flatshare.
Yeah, all the usual stuff. If you enjoy it, recommend us to a friend. Let's spread this listenership. Leave a review on iTunes. Do people still do that? I guess they do.
People do. Yeah. People do still review us on iTunes. Like and subscribe. Tell your friends about us. It all helps with spreading the word about this
Absolutely.
Podcast.
Absolutely. Nominate us for a podcast award.
Maybe next year, but it always rolls around, and I go,
and
oh, yeah,
it always sails back off again.
The podcast awards have happened, and then you go, yeah, we always forget to enter ourselves in the competition.
I know, but I always go, I can't believe we haven't bloody won a podcast. Oh, we didn't enter ourselves. Yeah, okay, well, that's fair enough.
They're not just going to go and listen. I mean, there's so many podcasts out there, they can't just go and listen to every single podcast. It's insane.
It feels like if you're going to be the judge of the podcast awards, then listen to every podcast, you know. The Academy do it. They watch every film. I don't know how
good
it
point.
Works. Anyway,
good point, yeah.
Right. Well, anyway, thank you for listening.
Thank you.
Thank you.
No,
Ben,
please. Thank you,
judges, for listening.
This is the episode we're submitting, yes.
Clarkie, thank you for listening for the times you weren't listening to the music in your head.
Well, I'm sorry, I just missed that one.
Do you want to play us out with the HSBC hold music?
Love it.
I certainly do.
Hey, it's all about the things we say lately.
Thanks, Fred. This episode was produced by Emma Corsham.
Corsham team.
Cheers, everyone. Bye.
Bye.
Will you please be upstanding for today's Patreon Watch Neighbourhood Roll Call?
It's the Patreon Watch Neighbourhood Roll Call.
Okay. There we go. Okay, two for a pad. I got three sausages made out of blood, black pudding. I'm selling them to Helen Budd.
I'll tell you right now, you might want to just slightly reframe the way you're selling those sausages.
Yeah, no, it's black pudding, isn't it? They used to call it blood sausage back in the day. You can't say anything nowadays.
No, it's PC gone.
You can't say anything nowadays.
You can't say eggy bread anymore. You've got to say bread with egg. It's an absolute dilemma. As I was saying to my old friend Gemma.
Oh, you can't say anything anymore.
You can't say nothing no more.
I bought my daughter, right, this little cuddly little baby for her to look after, right?
Yeah.
Apparently, I can't call it a dolly anymore.
No.
I got to call it a tiny person of unknown origin.
All right. Listen, do you know what? Should we stop doing this character now? Because it's already getting into, like, let's not. It's a rare situation, folks, where we're gonna switch tack midway, like, immediately. I think we're just going to get ourselves into sticky territory. The listeners don't need it. We don't need it. I think we're much more comfortable with the general sort of, you know, the barra boy, the greengrocer type affair.
That's where we were.
And I hold my hands up. I steered the ship slightly away from...
I mean, these things, you know, happen, don't they? These things happen.
They do. But, you know, nip it in the bud early doors. Move on.
All right. We're moving on. I'm doing your tattoos. I'm doing them two for a pad. But they're not permanent. They fade after a few days. They're henna.
I think we've already done this name. It's Gemma. We've done it.
Yeah, he's got name. We're not going all the way back to the names. No, you were doing Daniel Jolly, remember? That's why.
Okay. Here we go, yeah. Well, it's as simple as that. I'm selling you a baby little girl, aren't I? It's a dolly. Who am I selling it to? Daniel Jolly.
Let me tell you now, it's an absolutely gorgeous dolly. This dolly can do absolutely everything. It's wonderful. It can laugh. It can cry.
It can eat black pudding.
You tickle its belly and eat black pudding, exactly. Yeah. Most of all, its hair is curly.
Oh.
I'm selling it once, twice, three times to Paul Shirley. He's bought three of them.
Let me tell you something. He's going to enjoy those dollies as well.
He's going to enjoy it once, twice, three times a dolly.
Listen, I'm going to sell you another version of that dolly. Like, it's got a lovely habit on it. Look, it's got a nun's outfit on it.
Oh, here we go. Yeah,
little baby. She can
only a matter of time.
She'll hear your confession. She'll say Hail Marys. She can even pray. Going once. Going twice, buy your nun dollies, sold to Chris Day.
What the fuck did you rhyme with Chris Day there?
Pray.
Oh, pray, right, sorry. I thought nun dolly. I was like, it's not even a half rhyme. Right, no. I enjoyed it, you know. Do you know what, right? You know, I'm selling these curries. I'm selling these curries, right? In fact, forget that. I'm not selling curries no more.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
spicy.
It was a bit spicy. No. I tell you what, I will sell a curry. All right, I tell you what, I'll sell you a curry, mate. I'll sell you a curry.
Ruby Murray.
Here's the thing. I'll sell you a Thai red. I'll even sell you a Thai green. And I'll sell them now to Aidan Barkadine.
Let me tell you something, right?
Let me tell you nothing.
I'm selling you this little toy teddy boy. Oh, he's adorable. He's got teddy the blue boy. Suede shoes. He's got a comb. He's even got a quiff. I'm selling it three times. To Max Smith.
Oh, it's wonderful. Let me tell you now, it's wonderful today. I'm selling a monster and I'm selling it your way. I'm selling a monster. Oh, let me tell you, it's got really awful teeth. It's got boggly eyes. It's absolutely gruesome. And I'm selling it now to Joby Newsom.
Well, I'm selling you this. Unfortunately, it is a jar of head lice.
No.
I can't even dress it up, but it's only £3. Sold to Ian Goodice.
I don't know. Look, here's the thing about Ian Goodice, however you pronounce it. He leaves and rejoins the Patreon probably once every 2 months. His name always crops up. I've never had to ride with it, I think, but it always crops up, and I'm like, why do you keep coming? I mean, like, we love having you. But just stick around, you know, shit or get off the pot, Ian.
To be fair to him, he is dealing with a lot of lice.
He's got a lot of lice. Way too many lice. Oh, lice are too tight to mention when it comes to Ian. Ian Guidus. Guidus? Oh, who knows? Anyway, listen. I tell you what. Oh, excuse me. Oh, sorry. Sorry about that. I got a bit of the old seller's cough. Right, I've got the old seller's cough from doing too much selling. Oh, let's just hope there's someone out there with a buyer's cough, and I'm hoping it's Lee Myers' cough.
Oh no! I've got a terrible case. I've got a terrible case of buyer's warts, and the doctor told me I've been doing too much docking. But don't worry, because I'm selling you this quiche.
Oh, and, absolutely wonderful.
It tastes delicious, actually. There's nothing I enjoy more than about
than a quiche.
After a bad docking, than a slice of quiche.
Oh, and, absolutely.
And that is
quiche
why...
Quiche Lorraine, remove the pain. That's what you always say.
Yeah, that is why I'm selling it to my good friend, Robert Cockett.
All right, yes. I tell you what, I'm selling this trouser press. And it's not one of those knockoff ones. It's a genuine one made by Corby. And I'm selling it to Andrew Warby.
I'm selling you this pepperami. Believe me, it's no bologna. It might be a salami. Is it ham? Find out. Naomi.
Is it ham? The age-old question that we can ask of any of our products. This product you sold me, is it ham? Oh, I tell you what, I've got some great framed photographs.
Oh, have you now? Expensive.
They're pretty expensive. They're rarities.
Yeah, it's a mug's
rarities.
Game. Go to a framer, let me tell you.
They're rarities. Let me tell you now, I've got a framed photo of Tessa Sanderson. I've got a framed photo of Fatima Whitbread.
Oh yes.
Gorgeous photo of Zola Budd. Oh, recently had
not
framed.
Just the javelin throwers then.
Not just the javelin.
I was looking at it thinking it doesn't rhyme with javelin.
I'm struggling to remember if I've got this guy's name right, but I've also know what I'm thinking of?
You've got the big gun, haven't you?
I've got, yeah.
You've got Steve Cram.
No, I've got Roger Black. I haven't got time to Google it.
Is it Steve Yvette?
It's Steve Yvette, yeah. I couldn't remember his name was Steve or Chris. It's Steve Yvette.
Is it Steve Yvette? It might be Chris Yvette, actually.
Is it Chris Yvette? Let me
give us a second here. And is it Chris Yvette?
Okay, now there's Chris Yvette, who is a tennis player.
It's Steve Yvette. Cram and Yvette.
Who's a British actor and musician who was in Looking for Eric.
Oh, come on. We're so close to the finish.
We're so close to it here. Right. Yes, I have even got a framed photo of Seb Coe. And I'm going to sell it now to my dear friend, Helen Previtt. And I hope she says, ho, ho, ho. Merry Christmas, Helen. This sausage is made of blood. But the big question is... is it pig's blood?
Is it ham blood? Well, that concludes today's Patreon Watch Neighbourhood Roll Call. It's the Patreon Watch Neighbourhood Roll Call. That's the way we used to say it.
That's right. We love it.
Going once, going twice. So,
going Ian Guidice.
See you again next month. Old Guidice.
See you next month, Ian. We love you, brother. See you later, mate. Good night.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.